Amen. Let's just bow our heads in prayer. The gracious Father, we're thankful, Lord, that you're here, and knowing that you are the same yesterday, today, and forever, knowing that you came with healing in your wings, Father, we believe that the final great healing will be when you raise the dead, Father, for the resurrection is the greatest form of healing. And we believe that we're approaching very soon that hour, Lord, when the dead shall rise, and all that were in the grave, Lord, we should be gathered together for the last trump to be caught up to meet you in the air. And so, Father, we humbly, Lord, submit ourselves to the great shout which has already taken place, the great message which has gone forth, knowing that the next thing will be the voice of the resurrection and then the trump which is going home. And Father, we just ask that you would be with us as we begin to conclude on this great message of who is this Melchizedek, for we commit our thoughts to your thoughts, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. This morning, I'd like to basically we'll conclude the thoughts here of Brother Branham in Who's This Melchizedek and the closing prayer for the sick. And then perhaps next week we'll take one final message from this series and kind of recap the great things that God has shown us during this series and the great understanding of who this Melchizedek is and why he's come in this hour in the form of the Holy Spirit, working through a man as he did to Abraham in that great hour. Now, in paragraph 186, Brother Branham said, I'm looking at a woman that I talked to. This woman, I'm looking right at her because she's praying so hard for a man. And she told me she had a man, and she never told me nothing about it, but her name is Mrs. Waldrop, and she comes from Phoenix. And she was raised from the dead, and her doctor come with the x-rays and showed that cancer was in her heart, and she died in the prayer line. How long ago was that? Has that been, Mrs. Waldrop? 18 years ago? And there she sits tonight, a living testimony. Her doctor has come to the meeting and brought and said, how can the woman live? But there she is, and no sign of it. She's brought someone, and she's praying for him. Now he's dying with diabetes. Now that I knew. But being that you're praying, you know that I don't know who he is, Mrs. Waldrop. He's from Missouri, and his name is Mr. Cooper, and that is right. Now you believe? You can go back and be well, sir. It's up to you if you will believe it. Now, here's a woman, and she's suffering with an asthmatic condition, complications, and she's not from here. She's sitting out there in the crowd right out there, and I hope she gets, and she's not from here. She's from Georgia, Miss McKinney. You believe with all your heart, and you believe that God will make you well? Stand up to your feet if you're a stranger to me, and that is true. Jesus Christ healed you. You believe? To my back, there's a man sitting behind me, and he's contacting God, and what he's wanting, he's got a baby that's got heart trouble, and that baby has got a murmur in his heart, so the doctor said. And that man's name is Mr. Cox. Stand up, Mr. Cox. And he told Sarah what she was thinking behind him, right across the aisle from him. Back a little farther is a man who comes not from here, but from New Mexico. And I never seen him in my life, and I'm looking right at him now. He's behind me, and he's from New Mexico. And that man has a girl that he's interested in, and the girl has got something wrong with her, with her mouth. And it's the palate in her mouth is what's wrong. And the man's name is Mr. West. Would you stand up, sir? I'm a total stranger to him, but the Lord God will heal his child. You believe now with all your heart. Now, many of you believe now with all your heart. Now, isn't Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever? Do you accept him now as your Savior? Raise your hand. Do you believe him as your healer? Here, here's a person sitting here, crippled or something, laying on a cot. Can you hear me through the mic? I don't know you. You're just a woman laying there. If I could heal you, I would. But I can't heal you. It's just a man who's just rejoicing. It's just a man who's just rejoicing. His child was healed. I don't know you. You're a woman. I'm a man. But this is the first time that we met in life, I suppose. Right back there with you that brought you. Frankly, this is your first time here, though. Just brought you in. And you come from a long way and you're shadowed to death. You have cancer. And not crippled, but cancer. And the doctors can do no more for you. It's true. And you're sure to die. Because doctors can do no more for you. One time there was two lepers set at the gate of Samaria, and them lepers said, why do we sit here until we die? Because all kids are starving to death and eating one another's children. And then said, if we go down to the enemy's camp, the Syrians, if they kill us, we're going to die anyhow. And if they save us, we'll live. And they took the chance, and by faith, they not only saved their self, but the whole group. Now, you're going to die, you can't live. But you're not asked to go to the camp of the enemy, but you're invited to the house of the Father. And that's the end of the, one more paragraph. It says, now you're dying with cancer, and you can't live outside of God. You're not from this city. You're not from around here. You're from a long ways away. You're from Milwaukee. It's true. And that's right, from the city, and I know. Right? Do you believe? Will you accept God now as your healer? If you will, no matter how weak you are, how bedfast you are, I believe in your case that I would rise up in the name of Jesus Christ and take that cot and go home and live to the glory of God. Will you obey me as God's prophet? Then rise up and go home and be well. Don't be scared. Get up off that cot. God will make you well. See? Somebody hold her so that she can get up and get strength. You believe God? Just let her get a little strength and she'll be all right. That's it, sister. There she is in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Stand up. Let us stand and give praise to God. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. The Lord Jesus Christ bless you. Now, we've just concluded the cross of Brother Branham. We've been on it for 2 years. We began in June of 2 years ago on this series, and it's been a wonderful series because God has really shown us a lot of things, and we've had some wonderful, what I would call mini series during it. But what I'd like to do in today, in just concluding these thoughts, is looking at this the fact that the message was on Melchizedek, and here at the end he's bringing forth the prayer, showing that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That was the theme of Brother Branham's ministry. And if you've read the Owen Jorgensen's biography of Brother Branham, what he did was he not only took Brother Branham's life story, but he went through all the tapes. And he took out all the times that Brother Branham spoke of the different incidences in his life. And he brought those out and kind of put them together so that maybe when Brother Branham told his life story, he might have left out a part, but in another tape, he kind of told about more details about that. And you find that when Brother Branham first began to pray for the sick, it didn't come from an inspiration. He didn't know it as a child. He was really raised in a very unreligious home, and he never really went to church until he met Hope. And because she went to church, he went with her. But God was dealing in his life from the time of being young. He just never understood it. He just didn't understand when the Holy Spirit spoke to him out of the whirlwind. When he was young, he said, never drink, smoke, or defile your life in any means. He just didn't understand it. Then when several times in his life when he was approached by mediums, people said, there's a light following you. You're born under a sign. And they even told him the day and the hour that he's born, because that was a conjunction of the three planets. He never understood it. He thought it was witchcraft, and he thought that a lot of these things that followed his life was, and maybe it was the devil trying to do these things, and until God finally got a hold of him and told him that his ministry would go forth. And the very first time that he prayed for the sick was God gave him a vision. He woke in the morning. He was just a young man, about 23 years old. He was pastoring a church at the time, and he woke up and to a vision. There was a black man that was sitting in a cot, in a bed in a hospital, and his wife was there, two older people, and he saw these two younger men come in, and just as the two younger men come in the vision, he was standing there, and he said he noticed at first the man was, he had kind of curly black hair. He said, you know, he didn't recognize him until he said somehow in the vision he was come over to the side, and he said he could see it was him. And it was the first time he saw himself in a vision, and he didn't understand what it was about. But he saw him pray for the man, just as these two men had come in, and then he prayed for the man. And the man actually got up and started ripping off his bandages and stuff and started to get dressed. And then the nurse came in, and his wife was screaming, and the nurse came in, and he got thrown out, and as he waited for the man outside, the man came out, and so anyway, and his friend George Yark was with him. So what happened is he told the vision to his boss, and his boss happened to go to New Albany, and went to the hospital there, and sure enough, there was an old man that was in the hospital that had been, he had a milk company where he delivered milk he had a couple of horses on a team, and he'd go around delivering milk, and some boys came around, and one of these new Fandango jalopies, you know, these, I don't know if they had Model T's back then, it was around 1929, I think it was. And anyway, so they come around, and they hit the man. The man busted up all his ribs and everything else, and broken bones everywhere. And anyway, so he was in the hospital. So his boss talked to the man, and the man said, "Well, if this man had a vision that I'm going to be healed," he said, "I'm going to come pray for me." So anyway, so he got his invitation. He went to get his friend George Yark because he was in the vision. So I talked to George. George said, "Yeah, I'll go with you." And so then they went, and he said, you know, that he didn't know much about praying for the sick. He just knew that the Bible said they would lay hands on the sick, they would be healed. And he said, "That's what the Bible says, so that's good enough for me." He said, he didn't really understand, but he knew when he got there to meet the man and to talk to the man, that he started talking to the man and just told him that, you know, about the vision and stuff. And he said, "I don't know what it means, but," he said, "I know that I've had these visions all my life." He said, "They've always come to pass." And he said, "So I'm just going to tell you that, you know, that in the vision I had to wait for two boys to come in, and all of a sudden these two boys came in. And they were the same two boys that had run into him. And they came to apologize to the man." And so anyway, so the boys are there. Everything's in order. So he lays his hands on him. And the wife, she says, you know, "Don't get him all worked up. You know, he's a hurt man. Don't get him all worked up and stuff like this." And the man says to the wife, you know, says, "Be still, woman." He says, "I want this guy to pray for me." So Brother Brown prays for him, and all of a sudden the man, he says, "I'm healed." And so he starts ripping off his bandages, and he had every rib of his was broken. And he had, I believe it said he had a broken arm, a broken leg or something like that, and it was just all busted up. And he just starts ripping the bandages off, and his wife starts screaming, the nurses come in. It's all just pandemonium, and they tell Brother Brown he's got to leave, he's got this man all worked up. He said, "I'm not worked up." He said, "I'm healed," and there's all this confusion. So Brother Brown's thrown out, him and his friend, they go out, they leave the hospital, and they're standing out, and he says, and George says, "Well, let's go." He said, "No, let's wait." He said, because in the vision I saw him come out with a brown hat on and a brown coat. So sure enough, they wait about 15 minutes, and here comes the man, wife following behind, and he's running down the stairs, she's following behind him. He's got his brown hat on, his brown coat. So the Lord brought forth that first time where Brother Branham became very, very dependent upon the visions. Now, we don't have those. We have dreams sometimes, but we don't have the visions, and we're not dependent upon visions because that's not our ministry, but God does heal. We've seen God heal because it's His Word. It's not us doing the prayer, it's not our praying. It's not even our faith many times, because a man that's raised from the dead, you know, he has no faith to raise himself from the dead. But we know that God is the all-in-all. And many times it is your own faith that's operating the gift that was in Brother Branham. And many times it's your faith. The Bible says they would call for the elders. It's your faith in that. And they would lay hands on the sick and it would be healed. So we see these wonderful things. And we find in Acts chapter 10, and reading from verse 38, we read how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. So notice then, the healing is God. In the Old Testament, we could find the scriptures many places that says, "I am the Lord that healeth thee." You see, it wasn't Jesus doing the healing. It wasn't William Branham doing the healing. We've seen answers to prayer here. We had a Cliff, you know, the diabetes and all that, and he had the stepped on the screw and had gangrene in his foot, and they cut off his heel. And he got himself out of the hospital, came over for prayer, and the Lord healed up that heel. Today, you just think maybe he had a little thorn or something in the foot. Grew back all the tissue, everything else. We've seen God heal. And yet, it's not us, it's God that does the healing. The Bible says specifically here, it was not Jesus Christ that went forth, it was God. It says how God anointed Jesus Christ, Jesus of Nazareth, with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went forth doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. You see? And we are witnesses of all these things that he did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hanged on a tree. Him God raised up the third day and showed him plainly or openly, not to all the people, but unto witnesses chosen before of God, even to us, who did eat and drink with him after that he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach unto the people and testify that it is he which was ordained of God to be the judge of quick and dead. In other words, the living and the dead. Now we find in Malachi chapter 4, and reading from verse 1, "Behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud, yea, and all that do wickedly shall be stubble. And the day that cometh shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts, that it shall leave them neither root nor branch. But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings, and ye shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall." Now, who is the Son of Righteousness? Well, that's Jesus Christ. And yet, that's God himself in the form of the Holy Spirit in a man. And who is Melchizedek? But God himself in the form of the Holy Spirit in a man. And so we find that in the book of Malachi, he says, "For behold, the day comes that before it all burns up, there's going to come forth a ministry where God comes with healing in his wings." And Brother Brown told us the wings is the New and Old Testament. And so we find that there comes forth a great healing ministry, the Alpha ministry becoming Omega. Because as what God did in the first church age, through Jesus Christ himself, he has repeated in this hour. In Matthew 4, in verse 23, we read, "And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of diseases among the people. And his fame went throughout all Syria, and they brought him all sick that were taken with divers diseases and torments, and those which were possessed with devils, and those which were lunatic, and those that had the palsy, and he healed them. And there followed him great multitudes of people from Galilee, and from Decapolis, and from Jerusalem, and from Judea, and from beyond the Jordan." So we find then that Jesus Christ went forth healing. Now in Matthew 9 and verse 35 we also read, "And Jesus went about the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted, and were scattered about as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray therefore the Lord of the harvest, that we will send forth laborers into his harvest." I was talking to Brother Joe White the other day, and we were talking about healing, and he said, I just wonder why, he said, we don't see a lot of healings in the churches. You know, he said, Brother Vail has always talked about how there's got to come a time when the people will just rise up out of their seats. They'll be healed because of the word. And I said, well, Brother Joe, I said, I've seen plenty of healings in this little church. And he said, well, Brian, I said, you know, we're beginning to see that here too. And I said, well, Joe, you know, it's just a matter of, do we believe God or not? Do we take him at his word? If God said it, then it's got to happen. I think so many times we look at the circumstances and we get to the place where we say, this seems a great thing. But what's so great for God who created the heavens and the earth? Like Brother Branham said, he said, you know, when God, we read the quote last night, he said, you know, when you go, he said, when I was out at night and I looked at the heavens and I looked at the stars and I looked at the moon and I looked at the sun, and he said, and you look at the stars and the galaxies and the Milky Way, and you realize that before any of that was even created, we were in his thinking. He thought about us before he put one star out there, before he put one moon out there, before he put the sun out there, before he hung the earth, he thought about us. Hallelujah. And in this hour, the very God who did it all has come down with healing in his wings. We ought to be believing for healing. We ought to be believing that what God said is good enough for me. If he said it in the word, then we ought to stand on it and confess it and believe it and watch it come to pass. In Luke chapter 9 and verse 1 we read, "Then he called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all devils and to cure diseases. And he sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. And he said unto them, Take nothing for your journey, neither staves nor scrip, nor bread, neither money, neither have two coats apiece. And whatsoever you enter into, whatsoever house you enter into, there abide and thence depart. And whosoever will not receive you, when you go out of that city, shake off the very dust from your feet for a testimony against them. And they departed and went through the towns, preaching the gospel and healing everywhere. Not only did Jesus Christ himself do it, but he said, it's given to you to do it. Then do it. Do what? Pray for the sick. Lay hands on the sick. These signs shall follow them that believe. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall be healed. Not they might be. Not the odds are that, you know, they've got a disease that in 2 weeks from now it'll be all right, and we can give God the glory because, you know, it went its course. I don't believe we have to let disease go its course. The course of the devil is that he's a bluff. Like Brother Branham said, God, you were in his thoughts before he even hung the stars there. He said, the devil's not even in the program. It's all been for you. The only reason why the devil was allowed to come into the program at all was because there had to be healing. Because God could express himself as a great healer. There had to be Savior, saving, because God was a Savior. That's the only bit the devil has in the program, was just to be that little bit of a bluff. So that you need a healing. So that you need saving. So that you need a little redemption. But it was all in God's thinking before the foundations of the world. That's why I say, he's not even in the picture. It's all God. And that God has come in this house to visit you and I. Amen. From Luke chapter 9, verse 10, he says, and the apostles, when they returned, told him all that they had done, and he took them and went aside privately into the desert place, belonging to the city called Bethsaida. And the people, when they knew it, followed him and received him and spake unto them of the kingdom of God and healed them that had need of healing. In Malachi 3 and 6, he says, for I am the Lord, I change not. And in Hebrews 13 and 8, he says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. If he's here, then where are all the miracles? Well, you see so many miracles. I ought to write a book sometime. I would just write them down. List them. But we've seen just in this little church and then around the world, the different places we've gone, that he is the same. Not trying to be a little Brother Branham running in his footsteps. I've gone to a lot of places he hasn't gone to. Different places. My ministry does not consist of... it is not emphasizing... pray for the sick, but we do pray for the sick. But my ministry is going to teach, to help. But that doesn't throw out the other. And the other is just as real, just as visible. Revelation 1, verse 8, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is and was, which is to come, the Almighty. I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that was called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. And I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as a trumpet, saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last, and what thou seest write in the book and send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia, unto Ephesus and unto Smyrna and unto Pergamos and unto Thyatira and unto Sardis and unto Philadelphia and unto Laodicea. And then Revelation 21 and 6, he says, and he said unto me, it is done, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the waters of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. Jesus Christ was anointed by God to go forth, bringing forth healing. It didn't stop with him. Paul, one day Paul was in Athens, I believe it was, or some one of those Greek isles. All of a sudden he told a man that was crippled to rise to his feet. The man rose to his feet. The lame were healed. The city went into pandemonium. They almost ripped Paul apart, believing he was some type of a god. Followed with Peter and with John. They were walking through the city square, and the beggar had his hand out looking for silver. He said, silver and gold have I none, but what I do have I give unto thee. He said, arise and stand on your feet in the name of Jesus Christ, and the man was whole. People then would try to get into his very shadow to be healed. few weeks ago we passed out the prayer calls that we had received. We have so much opportunity, brother, sister, to lay your hands on. It doesn't take a man who's called to the ministry to do it. If you're a believer, you can do it. I remember when Christina, back when she was a little girl, I was preaching up at Brother Vail's when he was very sick. He was down in Tucson recuperating. And I would go up there once a month for community service. I'd take the Saturday night and Sunday, and I'd have to go up and stay overnight. And I'd take my family with me, grab a hotel up there, and we'd preach the morning service, get in the car, and we'd drive all the way down to Cincinnati, and we had our services at 2 o'clock down here. They moved their service to 10 o'clock. We did it for 7 months. And they moved their service to 10 o'clock, so we'd finish about 12 o'clock, hop in the car, and drive for 2 hours nonstop. Kids would have to eat when we finish supper, or when we finish the service in the evening. And so they put on a lot of hours and a lot of time, and she was just, her little body was wore down with that leukemia that was building. And anyway, so I remember she had a fever. I think it was like 103, 104 degrees, and so I told her, Bob, I said, she's not better. I went up to pray for her, and I said, she's not better in a half hour. I said, then I'm going to have to go myself and have to stay here and watch the kids. And so anyway, so half hour come along, and Elizabeth heard it. She said, Dad, or no, excuse me, Elizabeth heard it. She went upstairs. I didn't know what she went upstairs for. She came down about 5 minutes later. She said, Dad, she's better. I just prayed for her. Went upstairs, took her temperature, it was back to normal. Now, God can use a four-year-old child to pray for the sick. He can use any one of us. Mm-hmm. You see it many, many, many times. You see it in your own homes. You lay hands on the sick, you lay hands on one another. And if we can believe for our healing, why can't we believe for other things? Why can't we believe for our children that are wayward? Apply the token and watch God go into effect. Apply it, keep confessing it every day, confess it. God, that's my child. Look at the little washwoman that down there in Memphis. God stopped the airplane. The program got off. They had clouds came in. They couldn't fly out or whatever it was. Engine trouble, something like that. He just went for a walk. The Holy Spirit said, start walking. Walk down. Holy Spirit said, take the left. He took the left. Holy Spirit said, take the right. Took the right. Walking down the street, and here's an Aunt Jemima standing out there. She said, hello, Parson. He said, how'd you know I was a preacher? She said, the Lord told me you'd be coming by to pray for my son. Brother Brown went in and prayed for that boy. He said he was so eaten up with syphilis, I think it was. He couldn't see. He was just laying there, darkness had set in. He said, Brother Brown prayed for the son. The woman prayed with him. You see, it wasn't just a one-man shot. That woman got down, she prayed, and he said, I knew she'd talked to him before. Brother Brown said, then after he was praying and things, he departed. By the time he got back, he heard last call for, you know, his life. God has held that claim. So next time he came through Memphis, he said he's, I think he's a train or something, but anyway, a bus stop or something, but anyway, saw the young man was working as a porter. He came up and said, you don't probably remember me, but he said, I was that young man laying my deathbed. He said, now I'm serving the Lord. So you see how God can just take a man, and Brother Brown said, he's got to lay him on his deathbed, get him to a place where he just, look, the young people have too many distractions. You know, we've talked about some of these, you know, you go around different churches and you find some places, like up at Brother Vail's, and different places that are out in the country. That's all they've got is a church. Go out to Idaho, that's all they've got out there. It's just a little church. You're in a big city like Cincinnati, your kids have a lot of distractions. A lot of distractions. And when you're in that fast lane, you hardly have time for God. So what does God do? You apply that token, God will take them out of the fast lane real quick. And don't be, you know, worried about if God has to put them on their bed, on a hospital bed. You be thanking the Lord for it. Get into the place where they finally get out of that fast lane. Stop long enough to listen to God, the hand of God. Look at how Brother Branham, how God dealt with him until finally God got his attention. Well, what was the first time? He was out hunting with his friend, George. And what happened? The shotgun went off from his friend's shotgun. They're just walking home. The shotgun went off. It just about blew his legs in two. He said his friend Georgie, he didn't want him to leave him, but he just took off like a rabbit and got help, and they got him to the hospital. He lost so much blood. And that's when God gave him that vision of hell. And he wanted nothing to do with that. He promised to serve God, but he didn't after that. Later on, he went out west and experienced some things out there. Meanwhile, his brother died. You see how bit by bit by bit, God just kept working at him, working at him, working at him. Finally, he came back and he got sick again. And he had to take his appendix out. He almost died on the table end. That's when he finally made up his mind, I'm going to serve God. I'm going to find this Jesus. And he finally got out of there. He didn't know what to do. He said, I don't know. He said, I know I've seen him in the wilderness. I know I've seen him out on the countryside. He said, but I don't know how to talk to him. He said, so I just wrote him a letter. And God met him in the shed that night. So you see, God will get a hold of him. But he's got to apply that token, keep confessing it. Remember the little woman that came because she wanted, she had a dead baby down in Mexico. And he said, you just keep confessing it. For 2 weeks, they kept confessing it. Finally, one night, the angel of the Lord came through the neighborhood. Both women are healed that same night. You just keep confessing, because he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's what he did in the Alpha, he's obligated to do in the Omega. From the masterpiece, Brother Branson, the Alpha has become Omega. The first has become the last. The last is the first. The seed that went in has come through a process. It's become the seed again. The seed that fell in the Garden of Eden died there. Come back from the imperfect seed that died there. Come back to the perfect seed, the second Adam. The first Eve that fell and was used in the second Reformation, the second coming, as bringing forth a child, now has become true bride again. The seed right back with the original word again. The Alpha and Omega is the same. He said, I am Alpha and Omega. He never said anything in between. I'm Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. That's it. The first ministry and the last ministry is the same. The first message and the second or the last message is the same. I was in Alpha. I'm in Omega. There'll be a day that won't be called day or night, but in the evening time it shall be light. See, Alpha and Omega, it's become the first and the last. And oh, brother, and oh, my brethren, we could stay on hours on that. But if Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and Jesus sent them forth, pray for the sick, I believe we're obligated ourselves to do the same, to believe the same. You know, many times we want God's evidence or an evidence from God that He's there in our lives. God uses as many strange and different ways to do it. We've seen healings. God has given some of us dreams to scare the daylights out of you, to get you in line back with Him. I'll never forget how back in Minneapolis, Ron came to me and he was just about as white as a ghost. The Lord used things. He used it for Peter. He's using it for different ones. He used it for Brother Branham. He used visions. He gave him a vision of hell. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. From God who is rich in mercy, He said, now if many of you would like to just mark down scriptures, He said, I would like to for you to tonight, if you would, to turn to Ephesians. And I was speaking last Sunday on the Ephesians, how that the book of Joshua was the Ephesians of the Old Testament, and how it was the book of redemption. And the redemption has two different parts, to come out of and enter into. First, you have to come out. Some people want to bring the world in with them, but you have to go out of the world to enter into Christ. You have to come out of of unbelief to enter into faith. There cannot be one thing in your way. To really have genuine faith, you must absolutely leave everything that's contrary to the Word of God behind to enter into your faith. And that was the book of Ephesians in the Old Testament. Joshua, where Moses represented the law, could not save no one, but grace could. And here Joshua is the same word like Jesus, Jehovah Savior. And now then, we find out that we come out to another Ephesians, another Ephesus now, where that is our intellectual denomination and so forth, and all the of our educational programs has come to us, Jordan, then we must have an Ephesians again. We must have an Exodus to come out and to go into for the rapture. Well, I could read many, many other scriptures here and quote the Alpha and Omega, but we've got the studies. We all know these things. But I believe that if we would just open up our hearts and bring our focus back into being, slow down a little bit in our life and put the Lord first in everything that we do, and start to have communion with Him and fellowship with Him, you find yourself being led by the Spirit of God to do this or to do that, to pray for one another, to lift up holy hands, to daily, hourly, to pray for your loved ones. I believe God will answer those prayers, but I believe sometimes we just get so caught up in the cycles and so caught up into the fasting and so caught up into jobs and things like that that we've drifted. And like Brother Brown said it with Ephesus, it means relaxed and drifting, and that's exactly, and we've got another Ephesus, we've got another Ephesians. We've got the drifting and the relaxing and moving away. But I believe that if we would just hold God to His Word, Brother Brown said God is no greater than His Word. If we just hold God to that Word, press forth to that Word, and we would say, we would see the same things that we saw and we have seen through the years, but we'd see them on a regular basis in our life. And I just challenge us, all of us, as we get ready to restore this little tabernacle that we have here, that God would help us to just rededicate our own lives and get rid of the old cobwebs in our own lives and the old snake skins in our own lives and just do a little clearinghouse and, you know, take focus and, you know, what are we spending our days? Are we listening to radio or are we listening to the Word of God? Are we listening to secular music or are we listening to something that's edifying and uplifting and placing us in heavenly places with Christ Jesus? And I challenge all of us that we begin to focus and just get our lives in order. No matter how fast the world is moving by, you're in a different dimension. And that dimension is in Christ. That's just all that's in hell. Gracious Father, we thank You, Lord, for Your Word, and we know, Father, You are the same yesterday, today, and forever. And Father, we just pray that You would help us to consecrate ourselves anew, to come fresh, Lord, and be refreshed by Thy presence. And we pray, Lord, that Your Word would mean all to us, and getting other people saved, Lord, in this last hour would mean more to us than life itself. And Father, we have great promises and great expectations, and Lord, the world just lingers on and going further and further into insanity and into wickedness, Father. Yet our loved ones, help us, Lord, whether they be brother, sister, whether they be mother or daughter, whether they be father or brother, Father, we just pray that You would help us to begin, Lord, to freshly just be sincere in our walk and just to consecrate ourselves, Lord, and to talk Thy Word and to live in Thy Word and to live in fellowship with Thee and with one another. Holy, humbly ask these things in Jesus' name. May there be, Lord, that this, as this little tabernacle be refreshed, Father, may there be a refreshing from Thy presence in our lives. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.